Chef and writer Anthony Bourdain describes his first book, Kitchen Confidential, as an obnoxious and over-testosteroned account of his life in the restaurant business. Well, maybe so, but it rested on the New York Times bestseller list for 14 weeks. Anthony's the chef the food world loves to hate. He told us all the nasty tricks a restaurant staff can play on a diner. He also revealed the noble side of the restaurant kitchen and its insanity. What you need if you're going to get a decent meal out on the table. Well, he's back with another book. Anthony Bourdain has circled the globe writing A Cook's Tour in Search of the Perfect Meal. Anthony, welcome.
Thank you. Hi.
Anthony, what in heaven's name have you been up to?
Well, to tell the truth, I put down a very nice score with Kitchen Confidential, and having spent most of my life penned up in a small kitchen, not seeing much of the world, I thought, let's take advantage of the situation, and I figured I'd travel around the world looking for culinary thrills, chills, and kicks.
I've read a lot of books about this kind of thing, traveling around the world. You open this book by describing your hotel room. In a town in Cambodia, there are bloody footprints on the wall, and you describe the place as a dung hole. the whole experience sounds like the deepest level of hell. Why? Why?
I guess, you know, I grew up reading adventure stories as a kid, and 2 years ago I thought, you know, never in a million years will I have the opportunity to see Vietnam or Cambodia or do this sort of Joseph Conrad Apocalypse Now thing. And this was my opportunity. So, you know, on my way to finding the perfect meal, I was looking for some off-the-road adventures. And I had a plan for Vietnam that I was going to reenact the story arc of Apocalypse Now, a foolish over-romantic notion, perhaps, ending up by going up the river into the worst place on Earth, the worst, most dangerous part of Cambodia. And I'd heard the Khmer Rouge were in the casino business in a remote corner of Cambodia. So I thought, you know, some sort of Maoist gambling paradise. They got to have some good buffet up there. The food might be interesting. And I'll have some fun on the way. Well, it wasn't exactly Siegfried and Roy, but it was, you know, it was also perhaps the most exciting time of my life.
So the food was, I mean, what did you eat?
Bad Thai food, basically. like a lot of the events in this book, I mean, I set up some rather ludicrous goals for myself, knowing or half suspecting that getting there would be a lot more interesting than the destination. And this was a very good example of that.
Well, did you find what you think of as the perfect meal?
I think a few times there were a number of truly magic moments where all of those forces came together perfectly. I mean, just speaking in general, I think the perfect meal is most likely to be that kind of blend of great ingredients, a really talented cook, and those mysterious elements of context. You know, where you are, what's going on in the room, what the room smells like, timing, how badly you need the meal at the time, that sort of thing. And I have to say that almost everything I found in Vietnam was near perfect. It's a foodie's paradise. There seems to be more great food per square foot and more proud cooks and more good raw ingredient and fresh, colorful stuff than anywhere else I've ever been. It was really an exciting place to eat. And I had one meal in particular with I was hosted by a bunch of former Viet Cong war heroes at a duck farm in the Mekong Delta. And they were the sweetest, most generous, kindest folks I think I've ever been to dinner with. You know, ate on a tarpaulin on a jungle floor, a clay roasted duck, very simple dinner. And I just had the greatest time, you know. So I just kept having to pinch myself to remind myself this was really happening. Japan, of course, is, you know, I love everything there. But as far as a restaurant meal, I'd have to point at the French Laundry in Napa Valley as being as close to perfection in a high-end restaurant meal as I've ever experienced. I mean, it was a truly extraordinary meal. 6.5 hours, 20 courses, and just jaw-droppingly good.
Mm. You talk very little, though, about America in the book. Why so little about our own country?
Because I live here. I was looking for the strange and for the new and basically stuff that I'd seen in movies and read about in books. And I was very aware that I had a window of opportunity to to get away with doing this with somebody else footing the bill. And I was determined to eat up as much of the world as I could. You know, I rather naively assumed, as this was, you know, most of this travel was last year and earlier this year, I rather naively assumed, you know, well, America will be there when I get back just the way it was. So, you know, I was very passionate about going elsewhere and going to places I'd never been. I also avoided, for the most part, France, Italy, China, India, you know, the famously great cuisines.
You filmed this. This is a new series now on the Food Network. Somehow this does not seem like a natural fit, you and the Food Network. How did that work out?
No, it doesn't. I think it was I was a little frustrating for the camera people, I think. I sold the book, was headed out, and some producers walked in who asked if they could follow me around and shoot while I was eating my way around the world. And they, in turn, sold a project to Food Network. To my complete shock and surprise, the end result, I have to say, I'm pretty proud of. It looks kind of cool, and I can promise you that it looks unlike anything that has ever been on Food Network before.
But you've trashed the Food Network in print quite a few times.
I'm still doing it. I don't, you know, it's a mystery to me. I've suggested that perhaps some anarchist cabal, you know, somehow let this project in under the radar. But you know, I guess they've been getting tired of their own programming. I don't know what to say, because it's a very manic, depressive show. They beat me for language a lot. I'm seen at various points drunkenly mishandling automatic weapons. Animals are hurt and killed during the making of this series. So yeah, it is a departure for them.
Oh, I can't wait. So what's next? What are you working on now?
I might do a little crime book next year, and I'm thinking about a sort of a military field manual on strategy and tactics of brasserie cooking with the folks at my restaurant, Layal.
Are you still cooking at Layal?
I swan through the dining room and take credit for others' toil now and again, but I'd love to tell you that, oh yeah, I'm behind the stove every night still working, but in fact I'm not a very talented French guy as really handling the day-to-day for me. I'm kind of like a casino greeter now, you know. I stand by the door and wave.
If you start doing Wayne Newton, then we know all is lost.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Hey, Anthony, thank you.
Thank you.